technical meeting. This year we're going to do bilingual. I mean, not together, you know, it's one section, but it's two different. The English programming are still under, in preparations. We're going to have a speaker from the Bay Area, Pastor Raymond Chan, who, as a matter of fact, is a cousin of Scott and Peter Lee. And then Pastor Raymond can come in. He has been with the Campus Crusade for a long, long time. And he is an experienced pastor. And you all know that beginning after the fall, Pastor Gene and I will be on the campus every Friday doing the campus ministry. And that evangelical meeting is a kickoff event. Okay, Matt has shown us, to share with us, we need to pray for it. Pray that this is the truly a God's guidance, God's leading. And this is a very important step of building up a so-called English congregation. As I had shared with you last time during my vision presentation, there are three components of an English ministry. The young adults, family, and also the college students. And then this is a very important step. So I want you to be prayerful for it, and maybe many of you can be part of that ministry. And so when we invite this Pastor Raymond Chan to come, and we're going to team him up with a co-worker from Campus Crusade on UW and also the AIV, and those co-workers will all come together. And you're going to have a game, you're going to have a fun time together to know the importance of having a fellowship, a Bible study, while you are still in college. And that is a very important part of your college experience. And beginning from that, we're going to start a Bible study. I hope that because we do some survey, you know, we did do some survey among the college students on UW. The feedback is people are designed to have a solid Bible study group, Bible study time. And then people have difficulty finding one. So what Pastor Jim is going to do on every Friday later on is to provide a Bible study on campus, you know. So it's not something social. It's not just social event. Of course, we're going to have fellowship hours, you know, but the focus of our future campus ministry is a solid Bible study as the foundation, as the basis. So we need to pray for this, okay? All right. This week, today, we're going to start a new theme for this month by going into the study of this book of Jude. Can you all turn to that book of Jude? It's the very last book before Revelation, okay? Can you all turn your Bible to book of Jude? And if you ask me which chapter, there's no chapter. There's only a single chapter of this book. And we're going to use 3 weeks, 3 Sundays to share with you the teaching that we can get from this book. And I'm going to do only verse 1 to 7 today. And Jim, next week, come back and he will finish up the rest of it. In the beginning, the first 2 verses is a typical greeting. Let's read it. Jude, he said he is a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. So you now know he is a brother of James. Who is James? James is the brother of our Lord Jesus. So this Jew, you don't even know there's a book of Jew in the Bible. Not to mention this person, Jew. Who is this guy? Hey, he's not nobody. He's the brother of Jesus Christ. But he is so humble, he didn't even mention that, right? Or maybe he can mention, oh, I am the brother of James, and James is the brother of our Lord, or make him somebody, right? But he didn't do that, right? He just plainly saying, I am the servant of Jesus Christ. Who is his brother? So now you know how Jew is. What kind of personality this person is. Okay, Continue to read. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be with you, be yours in abundance. Nothing special. Typical greeting. However, this is not a book of you can read it with enjoyment. Let's continue reading verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that we once for all entrust to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slept in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Wow, what's Jude talking about? He is giving you a strong warning about somebody came into you, among you. He said as a false teacher. He is teaching you something and cause you to be corrupt and rebel against the gospel. So this book is not an easy book to read. We have a theme for this month called Hey Jew, but sounds like it's pretty you know, but it is a judgment message. It's a message about judgment and all the consequences of your rebellion and sin against God. This is not an easy book to read. You know, but this book, when we are studying this book, if you see my outline, I'm going to share with you some of the concepts about how you can do interpretation on this format or passage. This is called a type. There are four kinds of, when you are doing Bible study, there are four kinds of figure speech in the Bible you're going to encounter. They need special treatment when you are doing the interpretation. You know, Bible, when you read Bible, usually it's just a plain text, and sometimes you have some poetry. That's not too difficult to translate, to understand that. But there are four kinds of figure speeches. It's very hard. The first kind is parable. And the second kind is prophecy. And there's a symbol. And this lastly is the type. What does type mean? Type is something like a person or a thing in the Old Testament. Okay, listen to me very carefully. What is a type? If you want to understand the book of this Jew, you have to understand this book, whole book, the whole chapter was written in that kind of figure speech format. So you have to understand this before I can share with you how we're going to translate and understand his message. This is a type. A type is a person or a thing will stay in Old Testament, which is to foreshadow another thing or another person in the New Testament. So there's a correspondence, you know, there's a thing in the Old Testament, and there's a correspondence in the New Testament. And for example, like we all know about a lot of sacrifice, the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament was mentioned. That animal sacrifice is a type. It's a type of Jesus Christ. He is a perfect sacrifice for our human sin. So the animal sacrifice is a thing and also is a type to foreshadow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a New Testament figure, right? And Jesus Christ is the correspondence. If you want to understand that, you have to understand this kind of a way of they doing the doing this Hebrew way of teaching. And when after you identify, oh yeah, this is a type, then what's next? Then you don't know how to handle this text. There are three features for you to handle this text, you have to know any biblical type. They have three features. The first one is it must really, truly resemble the thing that it foreshadows. What I mean is only one type to one correspondence. You cannot be, cannot be any animal sacrifice, cannot be correspondent to other thing than Jesus Christ. It has to be only one thing. And like animal sacrifice, when the priest sacrifice animal and there's a blood shed, that blood shedding is correspondent to the crossing, nailing of Jesus Christ on the cross, and his shedding of his blood for us. Only this. And so that gets us to the second feature of the biblical type is this thing, this type must be indicated in the scripture. We cannot say, we want to take this animal sacrifice as something else. No, we cannot do that kind of interpretation by our own. Has to be state, had to be mentioned in the scripture. In Chinese way, we usually say 不可以灵异简经, you know, like coming out from nowhere. Oh, I got a revelation from God telling me the animal sacrifice now means something else than what Bible say about the blood of Jesus Christ. No, you cannot do that. This has to be very, very rigid. The second rule is it must be indicated in the scripture. Let me give you an example. Can you all turn to 2 Corinthians 10? Can we all hold on to this scripture? Okay, hold on to the book of Jude. We're going to come back. Can you turn to 2 Corinthians 10? We're going to read verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Did I got it right or not? Oh, it's 1 Corinthians. Let me see. I'm terribly sorry. It's 1 Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. Let me read for you from verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. What event the Bible is talking about here is the event of Exodus, right? People are led by the cloud pillar, and they walk to the seashore of Red Sea, and they also passed through that sea, right? Is this an event happened in the Old Testament, right? This is a type of what? What it foreshadowed? Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 2. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the seas. So what it says is the event happened in the Old Testament time. That Exodus event is a correspondent to a New Testament baptism. You know what I mean? Going through that sea, even though you didn't touch any water, okay? Because God already divided the sea. That people just walk past the Red Sea, right? But it simplifies. You say, when we baptize, we just like that Israel people passing through that Red Sea. You know what I mean? So that event in the Old Testament is a type to what's here today in New Testament. Baptism. Baptism is the correspondent and that Exodus event, that passing through, that miraculous event passing through the Red Sea is the type. And this thing was stated clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:2. Nobody else can say, oh, I want to say passing through Red Sea is something like, oh, me, some kind of my personal experience. You cannot say that. Only Bible can give us the interpretation of anything that is a type. Understand that? Okay, now leads us to the third feature of a biblical type is this type cannot be forced into correspondence in every detail with what it foreshadows. Here it says, the type, 1 Corinthians 10:2, it says, we are baptized into Moses, right? You know, so many times in the Bible, especially when you look at Book of Hebrews, I think you school did Book of Hebrew before, right? Did you teach that? About the type? Yeah. There are so many types mentioned in Book of Hebrew. And Moses is one of the type, right? Moses is today's Jesus. But Moses is not Jesus, right? Every aspect of Moses doesn't equal to every aspect of Jesus. Moses is a type of Jesus, but Moses is not Jesus. Just like that Esther's event, the passing through the Red Sea is a type for New Testament baptism, but it doesn't equal New Testament baptism. What do you mean by passing through the Red Sea? Today, if you want to baptize, you need to repent of your sins. You have to confess. You are a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then you get baptized. You don't go to a ritual just because of ritual. The ritual itself couldn't save us, right? People are passing through the Red Sea, so God saved his people from the Egyptians, right? From the army chasing behind him. By dividing the Red Sea, the people passed through that Red Sea and put the sea back. So God in them saves God's people by that act. But today, how are we going to get saved? We got saved because put our trust in Jesus Christ. Not because of any ritual or any religious performance that we did to make us saved. No, we had to put our personal trust in Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? So a type is just a type. It makes us understand some of the teaching, but it's not, we cannot teach that as a doctrine. You know, this is the value of Old Testament. Sometimes people are saying that, Pastor, we don't need to read Old Testament. You know, it's so distant. And so many things happen in Old Testament doesn't make sense. And then so many killing, murder, you know, oh man, Bible shouldn't have Old Testament. Our God is a God of love. You know, the God that manifests in Old Testament is a God, you can call it God righteous, but it's pretty cool. God killed everybody. God commanded his people to kill all the Gentiles. And here's a lot of things I don't like. So you don't like Old Testament. But why God allowed that to happen? Why God put Old Testament in the Bible? Because, you know, in a sense, Old Testament is a mirror, a mirror of history. It let us know this is how we human beings look like, you know? And then we learn from that example how people rebel against God. Like people of the, now we're going to talk about that later, you mean? God's people in the wilderness, they rebel against God and they got punished. And you think we are better than them? And again, we are doing the same thing. You know, in today's, we are still, even though we receive a lot of grace and mercy, goodness from our Lord, we still are complaining about it all the time. You know, so that Old Testament is a type. It's the reason pretty clear is to let us know the necessary of salvation, the teaching. The teaching is always coming from Old Testament history. And so that's the point of learning about type. We need to really do some word study into it. Okay, now we have three examples. Beginning from verse 5 to 7, this author, Jew, gave us three examples of an OT type. And then we're going to study it in a concise way. And then I will leave the verse 8 to 10 Well, even though I mentioned I'm going to do some interpretation from verse 8 to 10 in my outline, but I decided not to do it. And I would decide that Jim finish up. But we're going to get to know what these three types means and some of the basic interpretation of that. And you can understand a little bit. Okay, let's read verse 5. Let's go back to book of Jude, verse 5. Though you already know all of this, I want to remind you the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Verse 5 is the first OT type. I will destroy those who did not believe. What event is talking about? Let's turn to book of Numbers, okay? Chapter 14. When you are studying a type, you have to flip through NT and OT all the time, okay? Okay, Numbers 14. Now you know that the event he's talking about is the event that God sent his people to spy on that promised land, okay? And ask them to report back to the Israelite people what the land looked like. This is the promised land that God wants to give it to you. And then those old spy who went to spy at that land and came back and report, wow, the people, they are giant. You know, they are afraid. And they start to complain about, you know, everything happening. And see, all those state in Book of Numbers. And you look at verses 27. Can you all look at the Book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 27? How long will the wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these Israelites. God heard those complaints. And then what he says in verse 28. So as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Verse 29. In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years older or more, who was caught in the census and who has grumbled against me. All of those 20 years and older grumble against me, complain about me. You will die in this desert. I give you a promised land. And you don't want it. So I will not give it to you. So that means God is going to destroy his people. These OT events is a type. Then we have to find out what's the correspondent Jew is talking about. Jew is talking about, you know, false teacher, right? If you go back to that book of Jew, you'd read from verse 4, you know, Jew was talking about someone as a false teacher sneaking inside among you and teaching you and corrupt your faith. And that person, it's just like those spies who spy at the promised land and came back and grumble and say something that caused the complaint to our Lord. So those grumbling Israelites is today's God's people. Those evil spies are the false teacher today in the time of the New Testament. You know what I mean? So this is a type. This is the only way you can understand what Jew is talking about. He used that OT event, complaint, false report, you know, those things, and then he used that as a correspondent or the situations, the ordinance of this book of Jews is in. Do we have any false teacher here among us? Hopefully no, right? But are we complaining? Are we a grumbling people? We have to be aware of that. Okay? The reason, I don't know exactly the reason Pastor Jim picked this Jew as the theme for this month. But he talked about judgment. Something we have to be called to be aware. We don't want to fall into that type of complaining. We have to be aware. We have to be alert. You know, maybe there are some secular thoughts, secular thinking are coming into our life and make us think, oh, we don't have to love, we don't need to love our God that way. We don't need to devote ourselves to God in such a way. You have your own life. You know, try to be balanced or something else. Anything that will keep us away from our devotion to our Lord is a false teacher. And we should be aware of that. I don't want to share with you too much in detail about the circumstance happening at that time, why Jude wrote this book. But it is like that. There's a lot of heresies, a lot of false teacher among them, teaching them something other than genuine gospel. Are we facing that kind of challenge? We need to get to know that. I think God put Book of Jude in the Bible for a reason. There are some circumstances that we need to be aware of that. Second one, let's look at verse 6. Let's turn back to Book of Jude, verse 6. Let me continue reading for you. And the angel who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their home, or their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chain for judgment on the great day. What is this? What is he talking about? This is something very, very difficult to translate. I'm going to make it simple for you, okay? He's talking about a story in Genesis 6. Okay, let's turn to it, all right? Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Remember what happened here is, this is a time before the flood time. Okay, before the flood time, something happened. What happened? Genesis 6, let me read it from you. Let me read for you from verse 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they choose. So they married the men, the daughter of men, and they give birth to children who are, let me see, verse 4. Those people on the earth in those days, and they are afterward, were the one of the son of God who went to daughter of man and said, they were the hero of all men of renown. They are giant, and they are different kind of human being. This is something that I don't know. We don't know for sure what's happening, okay? But apparently, some angel, some fallen angel, those sons of God is not really so-called sons of God. They are spiritual thing, okay? Some fallen angels, they came to the world during that time, and they marry human being, and they give birth to their descendants. They are all giants, okay? They are heroes, and those people they have a sense of pride inside of them, so they rebel against God. This kind of heavenly event or whatever you call it. Of course, if you look at Book of Jude carefully, if you go to some of the reference, then you know he also mentioned to another Bible, okay? He's talking about Enos, okay? It's not necessarily exactly from this account in Genesis 6. However, it's about the same thing. What he's talking about is some fallen angels now, they even receive all the blessing. They're supposed to be an angel, but they sin against God, and they are fallen, and they marry with human being, and produce even more evils, and now those descendants they don't worship God, so that God want to put them in chains, and put them in a second level of the heaven, whatever we call it, and waiting there for the day of judgment. You know what I mean? So until today, those so-called sons of God are still in prison. in the spiritual prison somewhere, we don't know. They are waiting for the coming of our Lord in the judgment day. They will be judged. This is the event what the author of this book of Jude is talking about. Okay, even though we don't know all the detail, okay, but this is a type, okay? This is something actually happened in OT. And what's the correspondent to this type, I'm asking you? Are you an angel? Are we an angel? Not to mention we didn't fall from the sky, yeah? But what's the type? You know, I would think the fallen angel is a type of the false teacher that day. Okay, because those people will have special revelation. They have special training. They know the words of God. They have the privilege. However, they misuse that. And they teach God's people something else. They bring the corruption into the people's thought. So that's the false teachers. A teacher supposed to be called by God and have a special knowledge about the scripture. It didn't teach God's people rightly. They just like those son of God in the OT. They are angel. They are spiritual being. However, they rebel against God, and they corrupt God's people. And now they are awaiting in prison for the judgment in the final day. So that's what Jude is reminding us. Okay? I don't know why Jude mentioned that, okay? This is a very difficult passage. Hopefully, Jim will give you something more next week. Okay, verse 7, let's turn back to the book of Jude, verse 7. Let's look at the number 3, OT type. Okay, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding town gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment for eternal fire. What is this talk about? It's talk about the condemnation, the destroy of God on that two city, right? Sodom and what's that name? Gomorrah. These two cities. And this, I believe, you can find it in book of Genesis, Genesis 19, 20 to 22. And these two cities, the people living in these two cities, they have evil deeds. They're full of evil deeds, and they are complaining, and their evil will reach to the ear of our God. And they rebel against God in a way God destroys everybody in these two cities, except one family, right? And that story is a type or something in the New Testament. What it's talking about? Anybody reject God's will should be alert. This is a type for that type of person. The people in those two cities, they rebel against God, and God destroyed them, killed every one of them. It happened in the OT. The book of Jude used that as a tie to correspond something that in New Testament is who? It's about those God's people also likewise rejecting the commands of God. This is your consequence. We shouldn't take that thing too lightly. So now we know this author, Jude, he's mentioned some serious crime here in that time. I don't know what church he wrote this letter to, but I think they are in a very, very serious situation, right? I don't know why Jim picked this book. Are we in a very serious situation right now? We need to be alert? Maybe. If you are listening to those four teachers, think about it. How many times have you ever struggled in your daily life with why you're going to do something right according to the Bible and something that to please your colleagues, to please your friend, to please your boss? Have you sensed a fight, a struggle between doing the thing in the secular way and doing the thing in a godly way? Have you had that kind of spiritual battle? If you are in that kind of situation, you need to be aware that we are here to make a choice. And that choice, there's a consequence. This week, somehow, my wife put a CD in my car. And that song is about, it's telling a story about heaven and hell. And say, what's the difference between a heaven and a hell? It's something that is very simple. 一念之间, whether you are going to put your trust in Jesus or not, that's it. See, if you're going to put my trust in Jesus, then you are in heaven. Otherwise, you are in hell. That's it. You don't have to live all your life and a lot of different wrong things so that you will be put in punishment in hell. No. Simply by, are you going to put your trust, confess you are a sinner, put your trust in Jesus Christ? How you see Jesus Christ will make a difference. Are you in the heaven or in the hell? So it's not much difference. And there's a huge difference in consequence. Right? So this is something we need to remind. What's special about that one single family was saved in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah? What's the difference? Is this a better person? Are we a better person? Do we deserve whatever we're having right now? Or we are just all blessed sinner before God and we have God's mercy upon us? We are no better than those OT people, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're not just no better than that, we're sometimes even worse than that. But because we know our Lord Jesus Christ, and we every time we sin against Him, we come back to Him and ask for forgiveness. That's the privilege that we have. And so now we are, refining ourselves. We're learning our way to establishing our personal relationship with our Lord Jesus. And back in OT time, people doesn't know that. They have to prove their virtue by their deeds. And they fail to do that. And there's a punishment. There's a destruction from God to kill everybody. And this does serve as an example, as a warning to us that we shouldn't overlook those. All those three OT type, see? First one, passing through the Red Sea. Have you ever experienced any God's providence and help in your life? I think we all did, right? In a different way, we all experienced a little bit God's special help in our personal life. What's your reaction then? Does that make you a better Christian? Second OT type that Jude will mention about those fallen angels, those false teachers. Have you ever listened to any TV anchor or whatever, or you read some books that is totally contrary to our scriptures teaching, but you just fall in love with it and you just, buy into the world, and you are going a totally secular way of doing the thing. Your value system is no longer what is asked in the scripture. Sometimes we did that. For example, pursue of success. What defines success in your life? If you didn't make that thing right, many things you do, you are doing in, even though you don't know that, but when you are doing in a way that this secular world is asking, in a sense, we are following a false teacher's instructions. and look at those consequences of those false teachers. Those fallen angels now are in prison waiting for the judgment. Not to mention the third OT type, the people actually follow those false teachers. Just like people in the city of Solomon, they were completely destroyed by God. God's destruction upon those people are even worse than those false teachers. So, you know, you don't want to listen to those people who teach you something other than scripture. But you don't want to follow your own desire, bodily desire, just do whatever you please to you. Because that also brings the consequence. But having read all these three OT type, we know what Jew is getting us into it, right? And beginning from verse 8 to 9 and 10, he gives us more the extent of the false teaching, how serious that false teacher is, and all those detailed description of all their corrupt deed. I will leave it to Jim to share with you next week. But, you know, prepare yourself. It is a judgment day coming. We all desire second coming of our Lord Christ. But when he comes, he not just deliver us to the eternal salvation only. He's going to judge us. And this book serves as a perfect example to remind us what's the standard of God's judgment. And it actually happened. This is not something that it just serves as a story. These are a true account in the Old Testament time. People actually died. City actually was destroyed. We need to wake up. There's a consequence of everything we do. And then Jude will remind us, how can we avoid that? So let's prepare ourselves for the further teaching from Pastor Jim next week. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this stern warning that we know that it's coming. And we know that you are a God of mercy, but also a God of righteousness. You judge people. You deliver your people all from all kind of difficulty. But you expect us to be obedient to you. Just let us know that we don't want to take whatever we desire, partially salvation or partially God's presence. We won't have to know that, that everything that we do, there's a consequence. I pray that when we were reminded by these OT accounts, we know there's a hope. We know your salvation is complete. You will definitely deliver us from all those evil. Only thing we need to do is just turn back to you and put our trust in you. And you will save us and save us to the complete. We thank you for this kind of salvation. And we thank you for all the reminder that we're going to receive. And we thank you for this church, this group of Christians, that we can be encouraged to one another in our daily work, in being a children of God, obedience to your will. And we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't we stand?